The framework of which creed he will fit his experience into will depend mostly on the culture in which he lives. However, it will be found on close scrutiny that most seekers are using mysticism merely as an escape from life and from its duties and responsibilities. The mystic retreats into a private ecstasy of bliss, turns his back on the world and forgets not only his sorrow, but the needs and sorrows of his fellow men. His life becomes narrow and selfish. 174. The preoccupation of man in his waking state is for comforts and for survival as long as possible in any state that gives him joy, regardless of whether it is a mystical state or a materialistic comfort state. He lives through periods of skepticism and drops it when he feels that the comfort states are leaving him. When such states of comfort are regained, he once more establishes himself in the persistent ideal of ease and happiness with his materiality. He knows, lives, and is aware of life as the part of his physical and human senses. Other than this, there is little else in life for him. He gains material possessions and gives life the least he can, but always in hopes that it will return him greater rewards. The evolution of his consciousness is always slow. It takes many lives to reach anyone of this nature. He goes through the evolution of life in matter, and the evolution of life in mind power. But to him the Vardhan is only a word which merely states the spiritual phenomena of life without explaining it. Neither is it any good for him because he has to extend himself and gain little, according to the material world. Life then becomes a form of veiled consciousness. He objects to stepping any further into an evoluted state. Thus, the Vardhan is not a doctrine, it is a perspective. It is not a philosophy, but a mood. It is not the Vardhanist who makes Vardhan, but the Vardhan which makes the Vardhanist, and this Vardhan is all of life. The materialist is one who always sees the variety and not the reality of life, who wanders on from death to death trying to find what might be the answers to his permanent desire for creature comforts. Therefore, the Vardhanist finds that whosoever wants life shall live, and whosoever wants love shall have love. But whosoever wants hatred shall suffer through the hardships and pangs of discomfort from death to death, through life after life. The Vardhanist need not ask what to do with his life and his efforts in life, for the Vardhan engulfs him constantly and gives him task after task. He becomes a conduit through which flows an electric current of power. This current becomes himself until he can no longer feel the difference between it and, 175, himself. He cannot recognize where it begins in him and leaves off in him, thus it compels him to accept it for whatever it might be. It is the Vardhan power, using him as a channel. After he has accepted it as part of himself, and allows it to use him, his life cannot be otherwise. He wants all life to continue to use him as a channel, and keeps himself open to the Vardhan at all times. The lower self must learn that it cannot exist, as it belongs to Kal Niranjan. Since soul does not belong in the lower worlds except to live in them temporarily, then all its communication is with the Vardhan. No problem is given man which is greater than himself. Each being is tested according to his capacity, none tested beyond it. Each problem which man encounters has a spiritual solution, and each has its troubles at the point where he is most negative and vulnerable. Whosoever knows one thing therefore knows fully all things, for truth in one spiritual thing is inseparable from the truth of all things. If one knows himself, then he has self-realization, but if he knows a single factor about truth, he certainly knows all truth. The mind of man and the mind in man are one. This is the law of the lower worlds, and that which so often betrays the seeker of the divine. Man should never seek to become one with God, for he is then falling victim to Kal Niranjan. He is catering to the impermanent and not to that which is eternal. Only the Hare is eternal, and can give life in the eternity. What men call God is impermanent and cannot give life to any except in the psychic worlds. By trying to bring together the lower self and the higher self to make them one, in order to enter into the worlds of Vardhan, is to bring about defeat. They do not mix, for none are as far apart in poles as these two qualities. The lower represents the Kal, which is the negative power, and soul represents the Vardhan, which is the higher power. The twain shall never meet, for the lower, the universal mind power, must step aside and be left behind so that soul can enter into the heavenly worlds. Spirituality and the sciences of man are also separated by the same factor. Spirituality represents the highest in man, 176, and the universe, while science is only representative of the negative or materialistic. Mind does not seek truth but only the material and what is needed to survive in the world of Gyanaranjan. All that is life is the Vardhan. Thus the eternal paradox and eternal truth of Vardhan is within all. It is only the Kila who has the insight to look into life and find the Vardhan behind all things, working slowly and quietly to bring about the spiritual change which is the true purpose of a Hari. 177, Chapter 12. The sacred works of Vardhankar. Every Kila of Vardhan is a special person. He is special because all his protection is from the living Vardhan master. Though he has been under the protection of the Margatma for many centuries, yet has ignored his presence, it does not keep him from receiving the blessings. The Vardhan Kila is always cherished, beloved and protected by the Vardhan master in every act in his life. He is taken care of in every possible way, furnished with life, love, and the generosity and kindness of the living Vardhan master. The Kila does not have to call upon the Vardhan master to fulfill any needs in his life, for everything is taken care of without request. Desires are the least of the Kila's worry, for he is never without the protection of the Vardhan master. There are times when he may feel that he is in disfavor, but this is never true. The Vardhan master may stand aside and let the Kila go through a certain test because he needs the experience. The Margatma is always testing the Kila in one way or other, for he knows that this is the way to keep the Kila aware and always watchful of what life may bring him. Sometimes it is pain, for pain is often the creator of awareness, and sometimes it is hardship, but if the Kila will recognize this, he will know that he is most fortunate, for the Margatma is merely putting him through some karma to reach a higher level. Most fortunate is the Kila who receives the blessings of the Margatma in some manner or other. If the Margatma touches the Kila with the tip of his finger, shakes hands or kisses a Kila, the gift of the Lord is passed from Vardhan master to Kila. The master is only the medium, or channel, by which it is passed from the Hari to the Kila. 178. The Kila must be spiritually developed to such a high degree that he inspires in those who are the non-initiated a subtle peace of mind and serenity of heart. He must give joy to those around himself. Dignity and sweet humility are the twin traits in the Vardhan Kila, and he cannot be otherwise. He is ready to go forth to preach the gospel of Vardhan to the world, revealing its secrets to those who are ready to listen. He will show that the Margatma is the divine one who has taken upon himself the human frame for the emancipation of souls. The living Vardhan master alone connects with the Vardhan, the sound current. He is the incarnation eternally present on earth for this purpose, and he knows who is ready here and now. The Kila, in his work to assist the spiritual Vardhan master, finds men are hopelessly immersed and imprisoned in mind and maya. Seeing the true Margatma within the form of the outer body brings salvation and puts an end permanently to all unworthy desires. As moths are drawn to the flames and hummingbirds to the honeysuckle, so the non-believer is drawn to the Kila, who in turn is drawn to the Margatma. Without being drawn this way to the Margatma, the inner fires of faith are never kindled and devotion never aroused. Without these, no grace may ever be bestowed by the Margatma, and the goal of ultimate reality never gained. The body is the temple in which soul dwells while on earth. It is transient and perishable, subject to birth, growth, decay and death. The senses of the body often lead the individual astray so that he follows the false teachers, prophets, and pseudo-masters. These are only the kul working on the lower forces. The Vardhan must be first in the thought and deeds of every Vardhan Kila. Until he has reached this stage of life, all things seem useless to him. However, all else must be forgotten. Only Vardhan should be first in his life. Life becomes worthless, damaging and without any meaning whatsoever, if he has not accepted Vardhan as the supreme reality in himself. The stream of consciousness, which is a worldly concept of thought as a continuous procession of experiences and, 179, memories through time, must be imbued with the Vardhan. It must be filled with everything that is the Vardhan, instead of those forces which are known as the Kul power or the lower world psychic things. One has to bring himself into agreement with the Varden and not the Gal forces. When he has reached a certain agreement with the Varden, this stream of consciousness pouring through his mind will be changed to make him a channel of the divine reality. The jumble of thoughts pouring through the individual's mind are from habit. They have tremendous influence on the individual, and certainly are not truth at all, but only the reflection of the nature of Kal. Often, by picking out a thought here and there to verbalize, it proves that this is a stagnant stream of dead matter which is constantly raised by Kalranjan in order to bring about influences to keep soul caged within the body. The attempt to render in words the totality of thought at any given moment presents difficulties. There are so many words which have to be invented or reassessed to make it possible. Thought, being a rather wide band of perceptions at its simplest, often confuses the Kila who does not know which should be selected for his best interest. This is why one's concentration must be upon the Varden rather than anything else. Once the consciousness of the individual is put upon the Varden and filled with it, there is no problem, for every word, deed and thought is of the highest and naturally he follows its dictates. The confusion here is that man believes that human beings think in words, but this is not true. Man thinks in images in the stream of consciousness. But most of the stream of consciousness is really what is found in neurotic and psychotic minds. It never has good recall, and only occasionally can it be shut off in order to get the individual fixed in some sort of stillness within the inner self, to get outside his psychic state of consciousness. Those who allow this stream of consciousness to control their lives are in very poor states. Whenever a thought foists itself upon the thinker and persists in spite of his wishes, the thinker is in trouble. He must be able to call up practically any thought or memory within his whole 180 realm of knowledge without going through the stream of thought consciousness. Most religious and metaphysical systems within the earth world bear too heavily on this stream of thought association. Out of it comes the twin negative emotions, hatred and fear. The doctrine of wars, destruction, and pursuit of power, keeps the world in an undesirable state of turmoil. It means then that the mission of the Mahatma on this earth is to stir the millions of non-initiated into revolt against all orthodox religions. It also means that anyone who opposes the Mahatma in any of the worlds is foolish, for the Varden will swiftly work in retribution. There is no wasting away of the Mahatma's strength, for it comes with the power of the Varden. He does not have to prove anything, for it is there as clear as life itself. While the priest can prove any religious proposition by quoting texts from some sacred scripture, the Mahatma proves it by his very existence. The mainspring of every civilization is its church. When that decays, the civilization decays with it. But with the Varden one finds no decay, for its strength lies in the Hare, and therein it is all-powerful. Because the living Varden master is always with every civilization in history, those who follow the Varden find that it needs no human state of consciousness to guide it as religions need. No one should exploit the good and gentleness in man. But those trying to gain power in this world do so, be it in religious or other matters. But to each who is not spiritual, spirituality always looks like hypocrisy. Man is then able to tell what comfortable lies he likes to others, but he must beware of telling them to himself, not because it is immoral, but unfortunately because he will not be deceived. One cannot live happily with a person whom he knows as a liar. Those in the human state of consciousness will always be ready to deceive others, while living in frustration from such states themselves. The living Varden master knows what is going on within each of them, but he says nothing. Every individual who lives in this attitude must himself be subjected to what he practices. All Varden masters who have come here to live upon this earth plane and to give spiritual assistance to those Varden chelas who desire to follow, must be above all 181 things sincere, honest, and above reproach. But whatever they do in their human lives will have nothing to do with their spiritual lives. The two are often in opposition with one another. By his inner powers, the living Varden master looks for the inner state of the Kila, not the outward self. If any are worthy, they will qualify to be given a higher initiation and will receive the true spiritual instruction about the royal road to Vardhan Kar. At times the Margatma will openly discourage some, because they are not inwardly receptive. He never pays heed to one's caste, color or nationality. He is ever the same air-minded in his outlook upon all, and he sees the Hari in all, though few see the Hari in themselves. It is by his same inner powers that he gives Chelas secret instructions at long distances, without word of mouth or written word. He will often send his own Mahdis to those who are in need of instruction and initiation, in the Nuris Arab. The Margatma knows the inner states of all Chelas and anticipates their actions and questions. At times his behavior may offend the general public, and even some of the Chelas, but the true seekers of the Hari recognize what this means to themselves and the public. When the initiated is ready to cross the Bhavasagar, the tumultuous ocean of birth, death, and rebirth, he knows the Margatma is ready to assist him. He will not have to face the angel of death nor the judge of karma, for the Margatma will not let him be touched by either. He is taken by the living Vardhan master to that place in the high spiritual planes which he has earned in his life on earth. Neither will he be compelled to return to this earth world in another incarnation. The Chela should never expect nor ask that the living Vardhan master fit the image which he was formed through reading and listening to others about any pseudo-masters. All are pseudo-masters except for the living Vardhan master. He is the only authentic master within this world. Many seekers of God make their own image of what they expect a master to be, and learning that the Margatma does not fit this symbol, they become disappointed. They look too much for gentleness and kindness and all the virtues which they believe should be, 182, the main qualities of a master. They look for love when perhaps what they believe is love does not exist. Their disappointment is too deep for retreat. Sadly, they turn away only to learn that what they are seeking does not exist within this world. The Margatma is kind, gentle and loving to whoever he believes needs these qualities for his spiritual growth. To others he might appear to be firm, understanding, and sharp in his discipline. But he treats everybody according to their spiritual growth and helps each unfold individually on the path of the Hari. The Vardhan is the unity in the midst of diversity and multiplicity, which means that all the functions of life pre-exist in the Hari. But it expresses itself through the Vardhan in the worlds of its own origin. Therefore, whoever lives in the whole, and in whom the whole lives fully, is alone in his holiness. Few can share it with him, for they do not know what it is and cannot understand anyone in whom it dwells. So it's found that the Vardhan is the cause of all life, for it is the medium which the Hari uses to reach all existence. The universes then are the effect of the Vardhan. Nothing can appear in the effect which was not already in the cause. The cause is ever present in the effect because it is as much as the whole as the Vardhan is in the Hari, and the Margatma is in the Vardhan. Separation from the Margatma is pain and unity with him is peace. All is within the Margatma, for all within him is in the Vardhan, as well as in the Hari. When this understanding rises in the Atma, there is a great burst of knowledge and unfoldment which gives it peace and happiness. All conditions of space, time and causation are within the Vardhan. All the universes are within it, and so is the reconciliation of all opposites. Yet it is attributeless and possesses the works of the Hari, in the being and non-being states. In finding himself, man turns his consciousness to the Margatma, and allows the living Vardhan master to fill it. By doing so he passes through the limitations of the little self into the non-limitations of the Hari consciousness. It is in the little self that man craves to burst the bondage and become freed from all ills, finding personal immortality. 183, and salvation. He fails for he believes that the Vardhan can be brought into manifestation by either written or spoken words. The truth of this is that the true word or name of the Hari is Tunatmak. It resounds within the Chela and never without, as many believe. There are the two forms of the name. First is the Tunatmak, which is the soundless word, and second is the Varnatmak, which is the sound of the word in many forms. The Dhunatmik exists in those regions where language is not needed. It is the smile of the lover who finds that his love exists in the heart and not on his lips nor in his deeds. One can never express in words or deeds, gestures or symbols, what the spiritual ears hear. The Varnatmik is the great sound of the physical, astral, causal and mental worlds. It is heard by the inner and outer ears, in many forms, but always as the echo of the original sound, the dhunitmic of the upper worlds. The Kila must always take care to distinguish between the echo and original. The dhunitmic can never be heard by the outer ears, therefore, the inner ears must be attuned to the higher vibrations of the true Hare worlds. The creative primal music of the Vardhan is always vibrating throughout all the universes of the Hare. It is the voice of the divine reality, the Hare, vibrating into all regions like a great wave. When this primal force leaves the heart of the ocean of love and mercy, it becomes the Vardhan, which is the dhunitmic, the soundless, wordless music, in the upper worlds, and the varnatmic, the sound which breaks into many sounds, in the lower worlds. Those who seek God always look for the one who is able to converse with the dhunitmic, the inner word, one who knows the way of the Vardhan. Every soul is released through the Vardhan, brought out of the darkness of matter and set free through the Margatma, in the form of the sound current. As soon as the pure consciousness is established, he actually hears the Vardhan current, the dhunitmic, which is not heard by the outer ears. At first he does not know from where the inner sound comes, but he instinctively does know it comes from the direction which he must take. Without the sound consciousness he would be in darkness. It reaches down from the ocean, 184, of love and mercy, pulling souls out of the darkness of the lower worlds into the heart of the Hare. Through the Vardhan, the dhunitmic, comes the creation of all the universes and all the creatures and beings, and man himself. In heaven and on earth no name is given but that of the Vardhan, by which alone can man escape the bondage of worldly ills and the wheel of the 84. The divine and direct method of the Vardhan is natural and innate in man. There are no substitutes for it. It is found within itself. Without devotion soul is not purified, and without the purification of soul there is little that man can do for himself. He must remain faithful to the spiritual exercises of Vardhan. He must set aside the gross and seek only the pure within himself, for without this there can never be any success in hearing the sounds of the Vardhan, or dwelling in the heart of the Hare. The human form and mind are gross embodiments which can never have contact with the dhunitmic, directly. This Vardhan dhunitmic is the cause of the consciousness in man. The essence of the Vardhan must be joined with it to remove all earthly vestures standing between the two. It is through the Vardhan that soul descends into the darkness of matter and mind and becomes bound. It is also through the Margatma, the living embodiment of the Vardhan, that soul is lifted out of this darkness of matter and mind. Unless the seeker finds the Margatma, who is conversant with the Vardhan, he shall be unable to return to the true ocean of love and mercy. The way of the Vardhan is the only escape from the caged condition of Maya, the veil of illusion which keeps one in the world of matter and mind. When the Kila is no longer encumbered with the mind, he is free, happier, and finds life in the Hare. Nothing can limit his activities or bar his perceptions. But he learns that knowledge of universal nature is possible only by means of a human body. All the kingdoms of the universe have their corresponding sheaths in the human system, the physical, astral, causal, mental and etheric. In each sheath are woven the Vardhan principles, ranging from abstract factors of conscious life, to relations and laws governing natural facts, also one plane both in its universal and individual aspects. 185. The bodies of each individual are a microcosm in which the macrocosm dwells. The Vardhan of itself is the possessor of bodies. It has no body, but this is the Vardhan, and not God or the Hare. It is in every body, everything, and is no thing. Therefore, the body and the embodied are not separated, they are not the same, but similar. Each soul is given a body to wear for a divine purpose. This is the field of karma, and the human world is the place of karma. There are those who serve the Margatma for desires and selfish purposes, and those who tirelessly strive for truth. There are those who, for fear of pain, birth and death and other common calamities, seek sanctuary with the Margatma to escape them. Finally, there are those who, having known reality, have established themselves in it. They alone love the truth for truth's sake. These are the children of the Vardhan. At the time of initiation, the Kila is imparted vital secrets, which facilitate his growth and speed up his karma. The highest perfect directions for spiritual exercises are given. These help him to unfold his inner hearing and inner sight, and with them he begins his ever-growing inward and upward pilgrimage to the Hari. At initiation, the Margatma personally or through his Madis connects the Kila with the Vardhan sound current, and accompanies him all the way through the regions of light until he reaches his home within the ocean of love and mercy. All men caught in the meshes of matter cannot be released until the Margatma connects them with the inner Vardhan current. No man can tune himself into the sound current, for it is only the Margatma's own initiatory power that can do this for him. Soul is connected with the sound current at initiation only by the Margatma, whether he is there in person or not. He may have one of the Madis, initiates of fifth plane, to do this, but the initiator is only an instrument through which the initiation and connection is given. When the connection is made, the Kila develops the ability to travel by himself, in the company of the Margatma. He is more than able to overcome the downward pull of mind and matter, and keeps ascending toward the regions of true light. When there has been enough progress made on the path 186 of Vardhanka, he cannot gather any more negative karma. The earthward pull has ended and the upward pull becomes more powerful and acts upon soul. It is always the individual soul, the conscious man, that is initiated and animated. Therefore, the age of the physical body will have nothing to do with the initiation, and the effectiveness and efficiency of the initiation depends on the competence and compliance of the one who receives it. The inner states of consciousness differ in individuals. The Margatma animates and quickens the Vardhan mantra, makes it a mass of radiant energy, injects his own consciousness and its subjective light into the Kila receiving the initiation, who feels the shock of spiritual consciousness. It is an unspeakable feeling of blessedness which comes upon them. Blended in consciousness with the Margatma, it is then that the Kila rises to planes within planes. This inner elevation of consciousness results in the expansion of consciousness. It is then that the initiated finds an added knowledge of himself and those glories of the Vardhan awaiting him. He reaches these heights by the grace of the living Vardhan master. He would have been unable to reach them if he had not entered into the path of Vardhanka. The initiate, who with great devotion is purged of his dross at the time of initiation, enters through the single eye, the straight and narrow gate, into a tremendous expansion of consciousness, transporting him with joy into a state of beingness he has never before known. Thus begins the journey to the Hari by the Kila, walking on the straight and narrow path, sharp as the razor's edge, and listening all the while to the Vardhan sound current. All this is accomplished while the Kila is in full possession of his faculties. He finally arrives at the court of Satnam, ruler of the fifth plane, and sees this great being in its radiant and inexpressible form. Then he realizes that the Hari, the Vardhan, and all the rulers of the vast universes throughout the spiritual kingdom of the Hari, are all one in one, and that in reality each is the Margatma, the living Vardhan master. This is the greatest of all discoveries, for the Margatma is formless in spite of having form. He is spiritual form and material form, being many things and many forms. 187. The Kila will come to the point where he cares nothing for cultural creeds, philosophies, civilizations, and societies. He knows they are only pale offsprings of the true reality. The holy current of the Vardhan is all that counts for him while living in the physical form, but he knows that he is one of two worlds. The coming and the going of the bodies of man are of little interest to him, for he knows that this is the way of this world. But all, when initiated into Vardhanka, are free from the births and deaths of the body. All are at rest with the Hari in the ocean of love and mercy. The step to the Hari begins at the Tisratil, the third eye, and from this point soul ascends upward. It cuts soul free from all material toils and from the Gal who has grasped it from the beginning of its journey in this world. Proper training under the directions of the Margatma after initiation will work wonders, and the seemingly impossible becomes possible. The finer senses become active and aware by right use, as directed by the Margatma. At first the Vardhan sound current is weak and imperceptible, but variable. However, by continuity of training, transformation takes place and the music of the spheres is heard quite distinctly. Its divine and delectable music develops a sweetness and serenity unsurpassed by any. This music draws soul upward by its strong power, like a powerful magnet. It purifies all which soul picked up as dross during its sojourn on earth.